got an opinion? Pick up the phone and call. The lines are open at 503-250-1080 or toll-free 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right, 1-800-727-5955. Now, women are just like scratch-off tickets, you know? You just got to... You know, or like, no, here's the thing. Women are like the Powerball, so to speak. You just play the same numbers every day. Eventually, they'll come up. Now, it may take years. And it may only be a small, you know, it may only be a small jackpot. You may not be getting the $45 million or whatever. And, like, somebody else may be playing those same numbers. So you may have to split the pot, as it were, several different ways. But I'm just saying, women are a lot like Powerball. You just play those numbers, don't change, don't alter it, just play the same numbers day in, day out, week after week, and eventually it pays off. It's true. That's my advice to you. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955. See, even Christina says, see, you know what I'm talking about. You know that I'm right about that.
I didn't hear what you said. I'm sorry.
No, I just said that it would, well, no, I said that the being around, being, having a woman who feels like you're a friend, you know, being considered a friend by a woman, you're trying to get into bed with her, is like playing the Powerball, where you just play the same numbers every day and eventually it'll come up.
Yeah.
Eventually. It may take 1,500 different drawings, but eventually it'll pan out for you.
You know, I was just thinking about it during the break, and every single guy I dated was a friend before that consoled me through a past breakup.
Exactly, and that's why
every
guys hang around.
Every single one of them.
It's true. And that, see, that's just more, that's underlining my point there. It's like, I don't care who it is you want to sleep with. You know, it could be the woman next door, could be the meter reader, it could be Queen Elizabeth. I don't care who it is. I have this theory that you can sleep with anybody. Anybody on earth. It could be Rebecca Romaine Stamos. It doesn't matter. If there's someone you want to sleep with, if you hang out long enough in their vicinity, you'll get your chance. It may only come once. You may have to grant. And it may not ever turn into anything else again. But if all you want is to bag some woman, you'll have your chance if you're just there long enough. It's true. You know, well, obviously that's the case with you. I mean, I don't know if they bagged you or not, but I mean, they were always... But it's like you would have some fight with you know, Henry,
right.
And then you'd go home and Bob would be, no, come and cry on my shoulder
exactly.
About Henry.
Exactly, and I'm a pretty emotional person like that, so I had a lot of cries, and I had a lot of the, oh, it's okay.
So is that
okay.
How John got you? Was John,
oh, John got
was
the
John
mother load.
Getting you over another man?
He absolutely was, you know, and because I had this one long-term boyfriend before John, it was like a 2 or 3 year relationship or whatever, and who was there when that ended? In a very, very bad fashion, this relationship ended. And John was there.
So John's rebound guy.
Well, not he's not rebound guy, but
you had a bad breakup.
I had a terrible
John's
breakup.
Rebound guy.
You went immediately from a bad breakup to John.
Yes.
John is rebound guy.
No, he's not rebound guy.
The fact that you married him doesn't change the fact that he's rebound
guy.
No,
I don't like to think he's not rebound guy.
Well, you may not like to think it, but, you know, I don't like to think that I'm going to go bald and toothless someday. It doesn't change the fact that it's so.
It's not like I dated him just, like, because I was lonely at that point in time. And
No, but rebound...
She said that, you didn't.
No, it's okay. Rebound has nothing to do with loneliness. The definition of a rebound is the ball bounces off one object... And the nature of that bounce, the mere existence, the fact of the bounce, propels the ball onto another object.
But see, that means that every single guy I dated was rebound guy.
Exactly. And John is the latest. John is just the latest in a long line of rebound guys. Well, yeah, I'm not saying you don't love him. I'm not saying that you don't have a happy relationship.
Okay.
I can speculate about that, but I can't say it. I can't say it that we could definitively because I don't know. But the fact that he's, you know, your husband doesn't mean that he's not a rebound guy. Well, let me ask you this. If you had not had the bad, hideous breakup with the other guy, would you be with John?
Possibly.
That sounds like probably not
no,
to me.
No, the reason
that's like
I
partly
say,
cloudy.
I, see, the reason I say possibly is because we were really, really good friends while I was dating this other guy. And if the other guy hadn't been there, we still probably would have been friends, so we might have still gotten his chance.
So if it hadn't been from that guy, you would have rebounded off some other guy eventually.
Yeah, probably.
So it's just a matter of time. See, I'm proud of you, John. See, there you go. All the times that John has disappointed us, and now he comes out and he shows he knows how the game is played.
He hung around me for about a year, and then finally his turn came.
Because he knew. He knew. And the thing is that it's totally passive, too. It's a lot less work in some ways. Because you don't have to do a damn thing, but sit around and listen. And, you know, it's like Anton Chekhov had the greatest statement. Chekhov said, you could seduce any woman in the world if you were willing to sit up till 4 in the morning listening to her problems. And it's true.
And that's what John did.
It is...
That's totally what he did. The guy would call me.
Yeah, boy.
The guy would call me at school the past terrible breakup boyfriend, and who would I call immediately after I hung up with
him?
Yeah, baby, John, be right over. John gonna make everything feel all
out,
right.
You know, listen to me talk until hours in the morning, grind my little eyes out.
Yeah, and see, and here's how you do it too. And I know exactly how that whole rap goes. And then he said that he loved me, but then he ruined my credit and killed my puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
He, you know, and the thing that I respected about him that was different than the other rebound relationships that I've been
in. Yeah, do tell.
He didn't move in too quickly with, like, all the hugginess. He was just
No. You got to play it cool.
He totally played it cool, and so he didn't move in too quickly with, like, the... And so finally, when he actually did, I was like, what? Like, I was waiting for it. You know what I mean? I was like, where's the hug?
John's a player. John's a pro.
You're dropping the line. Well, if you were mine, I wouldn't treat you that way. That's just wrong.
Now, here's the other thing you can do. Has Likas ever done this? Because if not, I mean, it really needs to be done. There's all kinds of things you can do as a guy to get a girl away from the other guy. And I know that in some parts that's considered a violation of the bros before hoes code. But I mean...
Well, not if you don't know the other guy.
If he's not one of your boys, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But then he's just some guy who's in the way of what you want. He's just some guy who's blocking what is rightfully yours. And then he's a C blocker. That's what he is. That's what Likas called him. Anyway, but that whole thing of like the here's the way you can do it too. If you're trying to get the girl away from the guy, you talk to the girl like around Valentine's Day or her birthday, and you go, yeah, boy, I bet. Let's say in this case, John. Like if I was talking to you, you'd say, yeah, I bet John sends you flowers, you know, on your birthday, and I bet he's already, you know, booked you like a hotel, you know, up at a resort somewhere. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I'm sure he's the kind of guy who buys you day spa things all the time. I'm sure that, I'm sure that he's probably given you flowers in the last, you know, week or so. Probably gives them to you 2-3 times a month. I mean, clearly he's that kind of guy. I mean, that's what I do. I mean, obviously he's done that. And then, of course, Christina's going, well, no. No, actually, but maybe I deserve them 2-3 times a month. So that's exactly
that's
how you
very
do that.
True. And the boyfriend that dumped me, birthdays over Christmas break. And so I came back to school after Christmas break, and who was the first person I saw after Christmas break?
John, baby.
How was your birthday?
You know what that is? That's just waiting for the low-hanging fruit to fall off the vine. And then you just come along with a bucket. Hey, some apples. Excellent. Here's Tim Riley. He's in the KOTK newsroom.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
210, Tim Riley with news, brought to you by our friends at the WB32. Eugene is the first city in Oregon to formally seek reform and repeal of the U.S. Patriot Act under a unanimous vote by the city council. Eugene joins 14 other American cities, including Ann Arbor, Michigan, Denver, and Cambridge, all leftist radical cities in trying to get rid of the anti-terrorism bill. More than 200 people showed up at the public meeting last night to urge the council to take the action. Well, it's time once again to bring on the presidential turkey at the White House.
Oh, God.
I wonder if it'll end up on the president's dinner table.
This is turkey standing there. He looks a little nervous, doesn't he? Probably thinks he's going to have a press conference.
What? Is that a joke?
Yes. No, he shows he's the passionate conservative, compassionate, and he won't care.
You know,
if it was John Ashcraft would have chopped that thing's head off right away and eaten it.
Just eating it while it was still alive. Putting it all away. You know, the thing about the Bush and all presidents, pardoning the turkey is embarrassing to me as an American. That is the most embarrassing American tradition of the president pardoning a goddamn bird. It's just so, it's just...
And then they can never catch
cringe.
It, and it ends up hurting people in the audience.
Yeah, but they peck at the door when they want to go outside.
They do.
Yeah.
They make great pets, you know. Well, you might think the more heartwarming holiday stories here. You might think the night before Thanksgiving, people would be saving room for the big holiday meal. But as it turns out, many of us will be calling Domino's Pizza.
Who wants to cook the night before Turkey Day? And people are busy preparing for their Thursday dinner, and the last thing they want to do on Wednesday night is cook.
They sell 50% more pizza pies the night before Thanksgiving.
Nobody really likes Thanksgiving food. That's why. It's because the food, with the exception of turkey and ham, With the exception of the meats, no one really likes the food they serve at Thanksgiving. It's true.
You're crazy.
I'm not crazy.
You haven't had a good Thanksgiving dinner.
What about the pumpkin pie?
The empirical data suggests...
Good pecan pie and potatoes and stuffing.
How about mince pie?
The prima facie evidence says that I am correct. To wit...
Nobody likes Thanksgiving.
To wit, no one... Look, if you really liked cranberries, you'd serve it the rest of the year. You would serve it the rest of the year if you liked it.
But it's special.
When's the last time you had stuffing? Matt.
When's the last time I had stuffing?
Yeah.
Maybe 5-6 weeks ago.
Right. See, the average person, stuffing, once a year. When? Thanksgiving. Why? Nobody really likes it. When's the last time anybody had cranberries? Thanksgiving. Why? No one really likes it.
I had a cranberry turkey sandwich like 2 weeks ago.
See, but you're the exception, not the rule. You are completely the exception.
I don't think so. Like, tons of places, Subway and Quiznos, they've all got, like, the turkey cranberry sandwich now.
Yeah, but nobody orders those.
I order that.
People order them all the time.
All right.
If they didn't, they wouldn't be on the menu.
I'm just anti-Thanksgiving. This is a good time to note, by the way, that we're going to be cooking tofurkey and corn.
We'll be chopping the heads off as many turkeys as they're brought to us.
This coming Thursday, as
okay,
is our
I'm actually bringing in some kind of meat product or something on Thanksgiving.
Well, I guess so, a meat product.
So I'm going to bring Thanksgiving.
You guys can eat the tofurkey and the corn. I'll have like...
No, we're not eating alone. No.
You'll be eating it or something.
You'll have some Cornish game hams.
You're not getting me the fungus,
eating,
man.
We're not eating all this stuff alone.
Fungus in moderation is good for you.
Yeah. All right.
Well, McDonald's wants to make your fast food purchase even faster by letting you put your order on your credit card.
Just serving your order to you with a slingshot.
Now, up to a quarter of McDonald's 13,000 U.S. restaurants will have the technology by the middle of next year. It is the ultimate in speed. The target for service is 90 seconds or less, so this will shave it down to like 30 seconds.
Well, I just can't wait for my ass to be bigger. Here you go.
All right.
If you just can't wait for... Does McDonald's advertise with us?
They used to.
Okay. Yeah, I just can't wait. I can't wait to clog my arteries tonight. I've got to do it now.
All right. All right. It's going to be sunny this afternoon. Highs in the mid-50s. Clear tonight. Lows in the 30s. And for tomorrow, sunny. And for Thanksgiving, sunny again. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com.
All right. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Later on this hour, we got Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. We'll find out how his trip to L.A. went for his TV show. And about 45 minutes away from Tom Likas. In Portland, it's a full-time listener. Bill, what's up, man?
Hey, well, you know, I was listening to you, and I listened to you to get all my current knowledge and current events, and seeing as you don't know, like, map stuff,
yes.
And one of your last things, you said that the UN inspectors were searching for weapons in earnest, and I looked at my map book, and I couldn't find earnest Iraq anywhere, and that makes me wonder, is earnest a person? And why are they looking inside of Ernest?
Ernest goes to the Middle East.
Yeah, exactly. And if he is a person, I'm thinking F. Matt with Ernest impaled on Dr. Proctology from your listener party.
This F. Matt could be sponsored by your business.
It's an unpleasant world out there. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Jay in the Coof, what's up with you?
What's happening, Rick?
What you got, man?
First off, I can't believe you quoted Paul Reiser today.
What are you going to do?
Another television fiction character.
I know. It's because I don't have any actual wit of my own, so I just have to piece together the cobbled bits of wit from others.
But can you imagine the brain power that it must take to remember a Paul Reiser quote?
And the funny thing
is, applied it.
Here's the funny thing is, like, what should have been in that section of my brain where the Paul Reiser quote is? Like, what? Like, that's probably where Iraq is. Like, the whole business of being able to spot Canada on a map, that's probably what I should be remembering in that slot.
Yes. Okay. Now here's why I'm calling.
Yes.
You made a comment earlier when you were talking about I can't remember, but something struck a chord with me because I match my belt to my shoes every darn day I wake up.
Yeah, but your shoes aren't polished, I bet.
No, they're not.
Well, see, there you go. You can match your belt to your shoes and not be gay, but if your shoes are polished or buffed to just like a mirror-like sheen, you are probably a homosexual. It's true. And I'm not talking for a special occasion like the prom. I mean, like, on the like if you have got, like, black leather shoes, when you leave the house, if your shoes can be seen more than, you know, 40 or 50 yards away by dint of the shine on them, you are gay.
All right. But I just, you know, because I've been worrying lately because I live in Vancouver, and around the town I've been noticing that women aren't wearing belts anymore. Women don't even have the fashion sense to match the belts to the shoes.
I thought it was all about the black belt with the silver holes. You know what I mean? The little holes in the belt with the silver rings?
No, that's for younger girls.
Yeah, I'm all about that. That's a look that I can get behind.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, those are girls I can, well, get behind. It's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Did you see more? Okay, more on the gay front. Okay, we've got this from Randy in Aloha. Randy says, Rick, where do you get that Tom Selleck is gay? Well, upon what are you basing that judgment? Well, I didn't say he was gay. I said that he just... I mean, I don't know. It's just a feeling you get. I'm not saying he is. I don't know if Tom Selleck's gay or not. It's something I heard. It's one of those rumors that goes around, and it just you know, it's just there's certain people. Look, here's the thing: there's certain gay people that seem really straight, and then there's certain straight people who seem really gay. We used to work with a guy here. There used to be, and he no longer works here, but there used to be a guy who worked in this building who was gay, but seemed really masculine. Kind of burly, you know, not ripped, but he was a little bit buffed. You know, he had the kind of the spiky hair and sort of the 5 o'clock shadow, and you know, he wasn't like a bodybuilder, but he seemed pretty manly. It's gay as a parade. You never would have known. His brother, on the other hand, this guy's brother was straight, yet spoke with a lisp and was a hairdresser. I swear to God, it's true. And it was like straight guy. It's like, you know what it is? It's like tomatoes and it being a fruit or a vegetable. You know what I mean? They can claim all they want that tomatoes are a fruit. You and I all know they're a vegetable. Don't give me that middle finger. You know it's true. Look at a tomato. Look at it, smell it, touch it, taste it, eat it, swallow it. You know it's a vegetable. There's nothing fruity about it. Tomato is a goddamn vegetable. Anybody tells you it's a fruit, they're lying. See how I made the leap from gay to fruit to tomato? See? And nobody even noticed that. That's the sleight of hand that
the
I employ on the show.
That you're so good at, but really it is a fruit.
It's not a fruit.
It
a tomato,
really is.
What makes it a fruit? You tell me.
I think it's actually the fact that the seeds are on the inside makes it a fruit.
Cucumber seeds are on the inside.
Well, I don't know. That was just taking a stab in
you
the dark there.
You don't know.
I really don't know.
You
but I
don't
do
know.
I do know for certain that a tomato is a fruit.
It's not a fruit.
It really is.
If you can tell me why.
Because somebody with a whole bunch of initials after their name decided that it was a long time ago.
All right, whatever you say. All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. More on the way, including Doug, including Nate, including your phone calls, including Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. And more whimsy from the mouth of, well, whoever it is, from me and the folks. The cavalcade of whimsy continues unabated after this. Don't go anywhere. Ta-ta, 1080 KFTK. Here's Apollo 440.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Are you taking off your belt?
No, I was adjusting my belt. But I am wearing a belt. It should be noticed.
Just checking. Are you wearing
just
the
showing me what kind of jeans she's got on again.
Shut up. Are you wearing the kind with the holes in it?
Well, of all belts.
No, but you know those ones that have the holes all the way around and they're silver rimmed? You know what I mean?
No, I know what you're talking about.
Silver rings.
That's kind of a Sarah-esque belt.
Yes, it is. All right. Here's Christina with the traffic.
Mine is far less interesting. It's just a brown leather belt. So.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We hella rock a party here. Speaking of which, rocking a party, I just got that movie Scratch on DVD. Great movie, by the way, produced by the Hughes Brothers. Documentary about the history of the DJ in hip-hop. It's got a commentary. It's got a tutorial from DJ Qbert. It's got DJ Z-Trip talking about, again, how to rock a party. All right, 1-800-720. Speaking of my 90-minute excursion to Fry's on Saturday, 1-800-727-5955. Later on, we got Clyde Lewis with News at Ground Zero. Let's see. We're going to get Timmy in Salem. Yo, Timmy, what do you got?
Hey, I just wanted to explain why tomatoes are a fruit.
But more to the point, okay, back like on the tomato fruit tip here, do you kind of got a guy's name there? What's that about?
Well, actually, I was named after a Timothea in a movie.
Timothy is kind of a cool name, if slightly Ren Fair. Yeah, all right.
It's Greek, I'm not.
All right, what do you got?
Well, supposedly a tomato is a fruit because it grows above ground. I say that with great humility because I'm not in front of an encyclopedia, technically that's what
okay,
it is.
So do cucumbers. They're not a fruit.
Well, they should be.
Well, so do green peppers and red peppers.
I should be taller. Babies grow above ground, sister. They're not a fruit.
You know, I hear you. And so should corn and peas and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so you're making this up, basically.
No, not really.
This came from where?
Well, I read it long, long ago, but I can't. You know, I'm in my car. I can't get to an encyclopedia right now.
All right, well, until we get a better answer, we'll make that the ad hoc answer. We'll make that the pro-tem answer. All right. It's 1-800-727-5955. In Northeast, it's Joanna. You're on Hot Talk 90 KTK. What's up?
Okay, so a fruit is actually anything that grows off of a vine or a tree. So a cucumber is a fruit. A tomato is a fruit. A pumpkin, any squash, anything with a seed or that grows on a vine.
Anything with a seed? Well, everything's got seeds.
No, a carrot doesn't have a seed.
Well, yeah, it does. And
not when you eat it. Anything with like a pit, anything that grows on a tree, or just define it that way, then by a tree, if it grows on a tree or a vine and it has an actual pit in it.
Now, wait a minute. Are you just sort of making this up as you go along?
No, it's true. This is from my science. This is from high school science, biology.
So anything on a vine is a fruit.
Or a tree.
Anything on a tree.
Anything, what I'm saying is, for example, corn.
So pine cones are a fruit.
Those are vegetables. What's that?
So pine cones are a fruit.
No, anything. No.
Pine cones are actually a seed.
Actually, that probably could be technically considered a fruit.
See, no, this doesn't make any sense at all.
But I thought all gourds were considered vegetables.
No. Any gourd, that's a fruit. A pumpkin is a fruit. A zucchini, a cucumber.
A cucumber is not a fruit.
Those are all the Fox family. Those are fruits.
Cucumbers are not fruits.
Yeah,
that's completely
just because
ridiculous.
It's not seed. It doesn't have a high shift.
We're losing Joanna's phone there. No, the cucumbers are not. I won't accept that. That violates all rules of God and nature.
I thought I'd always heard that all gourds were vegetables. Pumpkins and squash and all that stuff.
Clearly, a pumpkin is... Well, I don't know what the hell a pumpkin is, but a cucumber is a vegetable. We all know that. That's Joanna. 1-800-727-5955. In Portland, Chris is a full-time listener. What do you got there?
Okay, Rick, I can answer the question for you truthfully with full knowledge.
Okay.
All right, a vegetable is the flower, like broccoli, cucumber. Those are vegetables.
Okay, what about okay?
A fruit is something that grows. The plant flowers, and the plant turns into, so like an orange tree produces flowers, you get oranges.
Yeah.
So anything that produces a flower, and then you get your finished product, like your tomato, comes from a flower, is a fruit.
I'm okay.
Now, there's different kinds of fruit, like your zucchinis and your squashes and stuff like that. Those fit in different phylums.
Okay, now I'm completely confused. Good. See, the thing is, you've gone deep enough into the lexicon that now I can't tell if you're making this up or not. You very easily could be, and I wouldn't know.
I very much know this from science classes I've taken throughout the years, and my mother is a big gardener, so...
So botanically, anything that flowers and produces something edible out of the flower is a fruit.
It is a fruit. Now, there's different classes, like your wheat produces a seed, which is not technically a fruit, it's a seed.
Yeah, but wheat is a vegetable. Wheat is a vegetable, though.
No, wheat is not a vegetable. Wheat is in a class by itself.
What are green beans?
A green bean would definitely be a fruit.
No, but see, that's retarded. Beans are green beans are not a fruit, and nor are they musical.
Well, they are.
They're a legume. That's right. They're a legume.
They are a legume.
What are nuts?
Part of the fruit family.
Let me ask you what nuts are. What are nuts? Fruit or vegetable?
Well, it's not quite. It's produced from a flower and becomes a nut. So, like a walnut.
Yeah.
It definitely has a fruity outside. You wouldn't want to eat it. It tastes nasty.
I got a cousin that has a fruity outside. Yeah. All right. Okay, there you go. There's Chris. I don't even know. Why did we even bring this up?
Well, so that means that there's, like, no vegetables out there. Everything are
fruits. Well, that's the thing. See, it doesn't make any sense. If a green bean is a fruit, then everything's a fruit.
Potatoes and carrots are the only vegetables. Everything else are fruit.
I'm not even sure about carrots. Let's never talk about this again. Let's go to Michael in the coop. Oh, is this 1080 girl, Michael?
Yes, it is.
How are you doing, sister? What's up with your bad self?
You know what, sweetie? I've been feeling your pain. I so feel your pain because, you know,
about
two months out of the year, I spend in Sisters, Oregon, which is not far from Bend.
Uh-huh.
And since Christina said she was going to leave and go to Bend, I've been there with you.
And so you,
I have been through the grieving process with you, and I still haven't hit the acceptance part.
So I'm not suffering alone, is what you're saying.
No, you're suffering with me. See, I look at you and Matt as like my big brothers.
Yes.
You know, and so I feel your pain.
Good.
I really feel your pain.
Well, that is very sweet.
Well, see, and you got that whole dominatrix thing going. You could probably help me tie Christina down sufficiently that she couldn't leave.
Oh, absolutely. Probably. I'd love to do that. See, that's more pain for me.
Okay, I don't think
what I was hoping is that we could do, like, a secret Santa thing before she left, and, like, we could do something, you know, before she left, let her know how much she's left here, so we show her that we love her more than John could ever love her.
Yeah, well, I think we all know that that's the case anyway.
Do you think so?
Yeah, well, I'm just saying. I'm just being mean. See, now, I was at acceptance, and now you're trying to bring me back to the dark side of
I
anger.
I want you to feel my pain, Rick. Yeah. Come on, help me out.
Well, it typically involves a club of some sort. All right, that's Michael in the couve there, 1080 Girl. All right, it's 1-800. We got to get them at the toy drive, man. We had to get the 1080 girl. You want to talk about
dominator?
You want to talk about driving the donator? I will beat your ass senseless. You want to talk? Bring toys for children or
maybe,
else.
Maybe we shouldn't have the dominatrix out at the toy drive for kids.
At Target.
Well, the kids aren't actually going to be there. The kids are off in the box somewhere,
maybe,
wherever
Target,
they live.
Maybe we get the 1080 there. Girls to, you know, like dress up like little Santa's elves or Mrs. Claus kind of thing.
I'm a fan of that.
Yeah,
I like the way you think.
Well, you know, that's a little more festive and holiday like than the dominatrix outfit or something along those lines.
All right, it's 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Just a moment, we're going to be joined by Clyde Lewis for News at Ground Zero. We got more of your phone calls. Like us in about 30 minutes. Don't go anywhere. Ta-ta, 1080 KFTK. It's the Rick Emerson Show at 503-250-1080. We will be back right after this. Stay there, you know.
It's Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Got an opinion? Email Rick Emerson day or night at rick@rickemerson.com. This is Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay, but this is a good point. Now, we all remember this scandal that erupted a couple years ago when the government started classifying ketchup as a vegetable. Because there was all this debate about the kids and what they were getting at school and whether school lunches were healthy. And, you know, there's the food pyramid where you're supposed to get 3 servings of fruits and whatever, vegetables and nuts and grains. And there was this big scandal that came out because this, and Tim knows this, because the government classed ketchup as a vegetable. And if ketchup is a vegetable, through the transitive property, tomatoes are a freaking vegetable.
Well, here's the solution.
Ex post facto.
In 1893, the United States Supreme Court ruled the tomato was a vegetable and therefore subject to import taxes. The suit was brought on by a consortium of growers who wanted it declared a vegetable to protect U.S. crop development and prices.
Booyah.
Fruit at that time was not subjected to import tax, and foreign countries could flood the market with low-priced produce.
See, this is just like at the end of Miracle on 34th Street.
They only did it for a legal reason.
It doesn't matter.
Well, yes, it does. Scientifically, biologically speaking,
you
a tomato is a fruit.
You just come up with a reason.
I'm not saying there is a reason. Why the hell does a duck-billed platypus exist? There
just
really isn't a reason.
Look, the government ruled that it's a vegetable. It's a vegetable.
Yeah, well, great. The government ruled that you don't have a Fourth Amendment right anymore either. What's your point?
See, those are some sour grapes, which are fruits, by the way. Let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show our good friend and compatriot, host of his very own damn fine radio show, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Because we all know the government doesn't ever, you know, do anything that's deceitful.
Let it go.
Pass laws that aren't correct.
The government says it's a vegetable. They could call it a duck for all we care, and they'd think it was a duck.
That'd be funnier, at least.
Yeah, tomato's a duck. Okay.
What's up with you, man?
I just got back from L.A.
Yeah, so you were in L.A. pitching. Now, we can talk about this, right? You pitched a show to the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yeah,
do you pitch it to them, or do they come to you?
They came to me, actually.
Excellent. And so this is for, what, theoretically Ground Zero, the TV show?
Ground Zero, the TV show, and it's really complicated. When I was there, it was a strange time. I met a lot of interesting people. I had a chance to run into Jamie Presley. I don't know if you guys know who Jamie Presley is. She's a dead ringer for Christina.
No, I can
see that. I mean to the personality, too. She is very conservative. She's blonde. She looks just like her. In fact, I thought it was her when I first saw her. I thought, what are you doing here? She had longer hair. She's been in a couple movies. You know
who else kind of look like is, you kind of look like that that elder daughter on Charles in Charge. You kind of got that going on. Here's the other thing I was noticing, too. I was watching V the other night. It was on the Wham or whatever the hell that channel is. But I was watching V, The Final Battle. And in V, the two main good guys, there's Mark Singer, who plays Donovan the Scientist. And then there's Julie the Scientist, who's played by a woman whose name escapes me. But you are totally a dead ringer for Julie, who's the blonde scientist in V. I'm totally with that.
We never really found officially like who the one person I look the most like.
No, but I'm casting my vote for her.
No, it's Jamie. It's Chevy Presley. It's got to be. I mean, I met her. I was talking with her. She reminded me so much of Christine. I thought I was with her. It was insane. She was in Not Another Teen Movie. She played a cheerleader.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and she's also, I think she's made appearances on like Buffy and stuff like that. We were discussing, there's something called Sci-Fi News that we're going to be working with, possibly a lot of indie films dealing with horror and sci-fi films. But the whole thing in Los Angeles, it was just crazy. They were looking for development. And the weird thing was there were people there who were younger than me. I'm talking, 26, 27. Heads of development, also people who make the decisions there, uh-huh. And it was like I was an anomaly to them. They couldn't believe, I walked in all dressed in black, and they were just, here I am, this guy who, they don't even know. They're aware of me because they listen to my show on the internet, and they're aware of who I am. But when I walked into the room, they're just looking at me, and they just couldn't, they were just
so
fascinated.
Would the show be
them.
Like Howard's, where it's just like a televised radio show, or would it be, what would it be?
Well, they asked me some questions. They said, what would you like to see happen? And I said, well, what I'd like to see is it'd be kind of like Howard, kind of like, remember the idea that we had a while ago called the Apocalypse Channel or the... you're seeing a lot of explosions. And
oh,
a lot
the
of,
violence channel. The I find that the channel. Violence network, yeah.
And I told them, I said, I'd like to see some of that where, automobile accidents, car chases, executions, that kind of thing. Just really, scary stuff. And they were into it. I was telling them, I want to just scare the hell out of people. And they said, well, that's a change. Not very many people want to try that. And I said, well, I do it on my radio show. I'd like to do it on the television as well.
No, listen to this. A telescope is to challenge the moon doubters. European scientists are about to use the world's newest and largest telescope to see whether the spacecraft are still on the lunar surface. For years, the doubters have claimed that NASA, the United States Space Agency, spent billions faking the landings to convince the world that it had beaten the Soviets to the moon. Evidence cited has ranged from the absence of stars at 80 photographs taken by the astronauts to the way the stars and stripes planted seem to flutter in the vacuum. Now, astronomers hope to kill off the conspiracy theory forever by using the Very Large Telescope, the VLT, by far the most powerful in the world.
That's the technical name for it.
Despite the Apollo lunar landers.
Yeah, they're going to find out. Do that book. He sent me a letter, by the way. Jim Oberg, the guy who's going to do the book that was going to thwart the conspiracy theorists. And he sent me a letter, and he was really snippy with me. And I wrote him back a real snippy letter back. And I said, look, if you're going to spell my name right, spell it right. And also put in print that everybody from NASA and every scientist that I've asked to be on my show to refute the comments about the conspiracy theorists have all declined to come on my show because they're afraid that I may change everything and make them look like idiots. And I go, they're scientists. I'm just a talk show host. And it just irritates the hell out of me that these guys are going to great lengths to convince you that we landed on the moon. Why is that when only 11% of the population, by their quote, only believes that we didn't land on the moon? If 11% of the population does not believe, then why don't you leave it at that? Why don't you leave it at the fact that 11% of the population are wackos or nutcases and leave it at that? But no, they have to go and they have to prove it.
Well, would you be... Where is this? In Britain or France?
This is the European Space Agency.
All right, so would you be satisfied if the Europeans pointed a big telescope at the moon and said, that is a bunch of crap up there? Would that satisfy you that we went there?
Well, yes and no.
Like, if they pointed a telescope and said, yeah, there's the buggy and there's the flag and there's like a guy's,
yes
lunch,
and no,
lunch
and I'll tell you
that he left there.
Go to my website, read the new article called Strange Simulacrum, and you can see that pictures can be manipulated to get the message across. There are pictures on my website in that article that show that they have used pictures throughout history to manipulate people's opinions. And, okay... We landed on the moon. Let's say we landed on the moon and everything's cool. And I'm not going to push the idea that we never landed on the moon. I'm going to say, yeah, we did eventually land on the moon. But one thing you need to remember, astronauts are not actors. They don't know where to stand. And we have a bunch of cowboys up in space playing around on, like, it's a television studio. What are the chances that NASA, in order to avoid a public relations disaster,
fake the photos, and fake the guys in a studio. There is nothing wrong with that. If they did that, then admit it. But they won't. You know why they won't admit it? Because if they do, then people will say, well, then if they faked it in a studio, then why go to the moon? You see?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you look at these pictures, they look like they could be out of Life magazine. How is it that you can take a picture on the moon like this? I mean, they say, well, science says that you can. Yeah, they made it up as they went along. You know, you put on oven mitts. You can't take a picture with oven mitts on your freaking hands. I can't. You can't. Nobody can. The astronauts were wearing, like, oven mitts on their hands taking pictures. They had the cameras mounted on their chests.
Dude, you're the king.
It's nuts.
Brian in Northeast, what's up with you?
Hey, listen, Clyde, I'm Brian. I was one telling you about Colonel Smedley Butler at the listener party.
Yeah, you were.
Did you look him up?
I'm still looking into the story.
All right, because that's the real conspiracy.
Oh, okay. 1-800-727-5955.
He was telling me at your party. He was all over me about the Colonel Smedley story in Eisenhower administration. It's really interesting stuff.
We got more with Clyde in a moment. It's time for another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential.
Yeah.
Human beings were not meant to sit in little cubicles staring at computer screens all day, filling out useless forms and listening to 8 different bosses drone on about mission statements.
All right, it's another edition of Rick Emerson's Office Confidential. Your chance to anonymously malign your coworkers, your boss, or your company. Subject line is, I quit my job while writing this. Rick, I hate my job. Being one of the truck-driving masses that tune in daily, you are the only good thing about my job. The general public I deal with on the roads each day seem to think that cutting me off and putting on their brakes right in front of me is a good idea. I guess they're thinking that getting run over by an 80,000-pound truck is a good way to die. Listen up, you ignorant pricks. The next time one of you makes me swerve off the road so I don't crush you into little soccer mom bits, I'm just going to run you down. Seeing how you're too stupid to continue to waste valuable oxygen on and you have a death wish, I feel I should just help you out with it. However, that's not all. Every day I listen to a fat, incompetent, no-brain-having bastard trying to tell me how to do my job. Seeing as how he has no idea how to do his own, where does he get off telling me how to do mine? I'll gladly let him borrow my crowbar so he can have a little help getting his head out of his ass. I'm ready to beat him to death with his own dispatcher's microphone until he admits to the world that he should no longer be allowed to speak. Every time he talks, we all get stupider. Please, God, help him understand that he should take his own life. No longer will I bend over and take it. I hereby quit. You can all kiss my ass. Thanks for letting me vent, Rick. Seeing as how I now need a job, can I come work for you? I'd rather work for free than continue one more day where I'm at. Signed, Anonymous. There's today's edition of Office Confidential.
Looks like you've been missing a lot of work lately.
I wouldn't say I've been missing it, Bob.
Good one.
Oh, that's terrific.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Well, and you're completely right about that. Anything you can make a pie out of is a fruit.
Exactly.
But a pizza doesn't really count as a pie.
A pizza is a pie.
No, a pizza
is. Yes, it is.
A pizza's not a pie.
A pizza is too
what
a pie.
What about, like, sweet potato pie?
Sweet potatoes.
And what is shoe fly pie?
We've done this before. Have we? We really have.
Did we ever figure out what it was? Never mind.
Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy.
Okay, let's stop now.
Apple pie.
In a pie.
Pineapple
on the edge
pie.
Of space. Okay.
Pumpkin pie.
We've got it. Okay, no. We're stopping that now. We're stopping it now.
Pie. Okay.
All right. 1-800-737-5955 or 503-250-1080. So coming up tomorrow on the Rick Emerson Show, is Betsy going to be back from Vegas or is she still there? Because she was too drunk last week, didn't figure it out.
I think she's still there. She won't be in studio.
So she won't
she'll
be in.
She'll be on the phone.
Don't have a clue.
We don't really know.
All right.
We'll find out tomorrow.
I have nothing. All right. So that's coming up tomorrow. Also another top five. And then Thursday, of course, we're going to be here live for Thanksgiving along with Clyde, you'll be here. We'll have Tofurky. We'll have Korn. Kristen from accounting, I think, will be here. Rob and Tony, I think, will be here. Richard Nunn from the WB is probably going to be here. And in all likelihood, Christina's younger, blonder sister, Annalisa.
So it's
all good. What's going on?
I think Annalise was going to be here until Friday.
Well, it all depends on when she gets into town. Is it Thursday or Friday that your sister's going to be here?
I think that she'll be here on Friday.
Okay, so Friday. Well, that's good. I mean, it's going to be.
You're just being optimistic.
You don't want
Thursday.
Well, you don't want Rob and Tony around her
well,
anyway.
Yeah, that would be scary.
That seems like it's going to go badly. So anyway, so Clyde Lewis, what's coming up on Ground Zero?
Do you really? You know, I am so exhausted. I really don't know. I have been so overwhelmed by what happened in Los Angeles yesterday.
Well, so when are you going to know about this? When are you going to know if they're doing the show?
Well, this is the deal. They're thinking about giving me the opportunity to commute there for development, and they want to pay me to commute and go back and forth. So it'd be, you know, me here, me there, me here, me there. Eventually, what's going to be is me here and Cruz here, and we're going to be filming all over Portland and here, and, of course, where we do the Klingon karaoke at Bodacious and a bunch of other places. And I'm striking up deals with all kinds of companies at the moment. We're working on getting Star Trek Nemesis tickets to give away and also Lord of the Rings. So a lot of things going on right
Why
now.
Why has nobody slid any of the Star Trek tickets our way?
I don't know.
We're dorks. We're dorks like nobody's business. We're the king dorks.
So that's what's happening right now. Is that, you know, everything is in development. Things are going, you know, really crazy. And believe me, I could use a lot of interns right now. I really could.
You're getting lies, right?
I'm just so overwhelmed.
Didn't somebody tell us that we've got another intern coming in for a tour? Is it this week?
I think, yeah, we're going to meet him on Friday, but her. It's another her.
Yeah, baby.
So we're going to meet her, but she's not going to be an intern.
An intern.
An intern.
A girl.
A girl. Two girls. She's not going to actually be an intern until, like, after the first of the year, so it'll be a little while.
So we'll be phasing Christina out, phasing the new girl in.
Fading me out, fading her in.
Excellent. I mean, not excellent that we're phasing you out, but I mean, it's like, you know, you got to, sometimes you got to bring them out in the Muhammad. All right. Coming tomorrow, Betsy, coming up Thursday, will be Thanksgiving. We'll be live, and we'll be doing the Tofurky and the Quarantine. So you got to be listening for that and spread the word. We want to thank CNN Radio's Gary Baumgarten, who loves us. Adam Sandler, W. Ozzy Osbourne. Osbourne's tonight, by the way. About 7.5 hours from now, Osbourne Season 2 begins. Clowns/clones everywhere. 1080 Girl Michael, Anita from The Coop and her son's porn collection. Ecstasy Girls. Jolie from the front desk, Clyde Lewis, host of Ground Zero. Friday 10 to 1, Saturday 10 to 1, Sunday 8 to 10. The Rick Emerson Show is produced for an ever-diminishing period of time by Christina Carlson for Hot Talk 1080 KOTK. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. The executive producer is one Matthew Peterson. And we will see you in 21 hours for the KOTK Noon News Hour. Like us next, followed by the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Thank you for listening. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Rick Emerson, live from Portland, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.